Here's someone who never gave up, Al Gore. We go now to his testimony to the House Energy Subcommittee, chaired by the remarkable Ed Markey of Massachusetts, as the Obama administration rounds up the evidence for the American Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. Chairman Markey gets the best and keeps it moving. You can find the whole two-hour video on C-SPAN. Get that link from my blog entry for May 7th, 2009, at our website, ecoshock.org. Here's Al.
Our country is at risk on three fronts. The economic crisis is clear. Our national security remains at risk so long as we remain dangerously dependent on flows of foreign oil from reserves owned by sovereign states that are vulnerable to disruption. The rate of new discoveries, as members of this committee know, is falling, even as demand elsewhere in the world is rising. Most importantly, of course, we are, along with the rest of humanity, facing the dire and growing threat of the climate crisis. It is at the very heart of those threats that this committee and this Congress must direct its focus. I am here today to lend my support to what I believe to be one of the most important pieces of legislation ever introduced in the Congress. I believe this legislation has the moral significance equivalent to that of the civil rights legislation of the 1960s and the Marshall Plan of the late 1940s. By repowering America with a transition to a clean energy economy and ending our dangerous over-reliance on carbon-based fuels, which is, after all, the common thread running through all three of these crises, this bill will simultaneously address the climate crisis, the economic crisis, and the national security threats that stem from our dependence on foreign oil. We cannot afford to wait any longer for this transition. Each day that we continue with the status quo sees more of our fellow Americans struggling to provide for their families. Each day that we continue on our current path, America loses more of its competitive edge. And each day that we wait, we increase the risk that we will leave our children and grandchildren an irreparably damaged planet. Passage of this legislation will restore America's leadership of the world and begin at long last to solve the climate crisis. And it is truly a moral imperative. Moreover, the scientific evidence of how serious this climate crisis is becoming continues to amass week after week. Let me share with you just a few recent examples. The Arctic is warming at an unprecedented rate. New research, which draws upon recently declassified data collected by U.S. nuclear submarines traveling under the Arctic ice cap for the last 50 years, have given us for the first time a three-dimensional view of the ice cap. And researchers at the Naval Postgraduate School have told us that the entire Arctic ice cap, which for most of the last 3 million years has covered an area the size of the lower 48 states, may completely and totally disappear in summer in as little as 5 years. Almost half of the ice in the Arctic cap has already melted during the last 20 years. The dark ocean, once uncovered, absorbs 90% of the solar heat that used to bounce off the highly reflective ice. As a direct consequence, some of the vast amounts of frozen carbon in the permafrost in the land surrounding the Arctic Ocean are beginning to be released as methane as the frozen tundra thaws, threatening a doubling of global warming pollution in the atmosphere unless we take action quickly. Melting of the Greenland ice sheet has reached a new record, which was a staggering 60% above the previous high in 1998. The most recent 11 summers there have all experienced melting greater than the average of the past 35-year time series. Glacial earthquakes have been increasing on Greenland as the meltwater tunnels down through the ice to the bedrock below. Were the Greenland ice sheet to melt, crack up, and slip into the North Atlantic, sea level worldwide would rise almost 20 feet. We already know that the Antarctic Peninsula is warming at 3 to 5 times the global average rate. At the time when I participated in one of the first hearings on global warming on this committee in the 1970s, a researcher warned that an early alarm bell that this crisis was reaching emergency proportions would be if we saw the breakup of large ice sheets on the Antarctic Peninsula. That's why the Larsen, and this warming has already caused the Larsen B ice shelf, which was the size of Rhode Island, to collapse. Several other ice shelves have also collapsed in the last 20 years. Another large shelf, the Wilkins Ice Shelf, which is roughly the size of Northern Ireland, is now beginning to disintegrate right before our very eyes. A recent study in the journal Science has now confirmed that the entire West Antarctic ice sheet is warming. Scientists have told us that if it were to collapse and slide into the sea, we would experience global sea level rise of another 20 feet. Each meter of sea level increase leads to 100 million climate refugees. Recent studies have shown that many coastal areas in the United States are at risk, particularly southern Florida and southern Louisiana. Also, carbon dioxide pollution is now changing the very chemistry of the world ocean. Ocean acidification is already underway and is accelerating. A recent paper published in Science described how the seawater off the coast of Northern California has now already, for some periods of the year, become so acidic from CO2 that it is actually corrosive. To give some sense of perspective, for the last 44 million years, the average pH has been 8.2, and the scientists have now measured levels off the north coast of California and Oregon at a pH of 7.75. Now, the lower the pH, the more acidic of the ocean water. Coral polyps that make reefs and everything in the ocean that makes a shell are now beginning to suffer from a kind of osteoporosis because the acidification levels have reached the state that it begins to dissolve the shells as they are formed. Salmon have now disappeared off the coast of California. Researchers are now working to determine the cause and whether or not this is due to acidity and the relationship between acidity and the so-called dead zones of extreme oxygen depletion that now stretch from the west coast of North America, Central America, and South America almost all the way across the Pacific in a wedge that stretches to the west. The health and productivity of the entire ocean is now at risk. The Union of Forest Research Organizations, with 14 international collaborating partners, have reported that forests may lose their carbon regulating service and that, quote, it could be lost entirely if the Earth heats up 2.5 degrees centigrade. Throughout the American West, tree deaths are now at record levels, with the records being broken year after year. That's the reason why Canada's vast forest has now become a net contributor of CO2 to the atmosphere rather than absorbing it. The Amazon, the forests of Central Africa, Siberia, and Indonesia are all now at risk. This year, a number of groups ranging from the National Audubon Society to the Department of Interior released the U.S. State of the Birds report showing that nearly a third of the nation's 800 bird species are now endangered, threatened, or in significant decline due to habitat loss, invasive species, and other threats, including climate change. The major shift attributed to the climate crisis related to the migratory patterns and a large, consistent shift northward among a vast range of bird species in the United States. Some of the most intriguing new research is in the area of extreme weather events and rainfall. A recent study by German scientists in the publication Climate Change projects that extreme precipitation will increase significantly in regions that are already experiencing extreme rainfall. Man-made global warming has already increased the moisture content of the air throughout the world, causing bigger downpours. Each additional degree of temperature causes another 7% increase in the moisture content of the world's air and leads to even larger downpours when storm conditions trigger heavy rains and snows. To bring an example of this home, 2009 saw the eighth 10-year flood of Fargo, North Dakota since 1989. Last year in Iowa, Cedar Rapids was hit by a flood that significantly exceeded the 500-year floodplain. All-time flood records are being broken in regions throughout the world. Conversely, those regions that are presently dry are projected to become much drier because higher average temperatures also evaporate the soil moisture. The American West and the Southeast have been experiencing prolonged severe drought and historic water shortages. In a study published in January 2008 in Science, scientists from the Scripps Institute estimated that 60% of the changes in the water cycle in the American West are due to increased atmospheric man-made greenhouse gases. It predicts that although Western states are already struggling to supply water for farms and cities, more severe climatic changes will strain the system even more. Agriculture in our largest farm state, California, is at high risk. Australia has been experiencing what many there call a thousand-year drought, along with record high temperatures. Some cities had 110 degrees for four straight days 2 months ago. And then, of course, they had the mega fires that caused so much death and destruction. Federal officials from our own National Interagency Fire Center report that we have seen twice as many wildfires during the first 3 months of this year compared to the same period last year. Due to the worsening drought, the outlook for more record fires, especially in Texas, Florida, and California, is not good. A number of new studies continue to show that climate change is increasing the intensity of hurricanes. Although we cannot attribute any particular storm to global warming, we can certainly look at the trend. Dr. Greg Holland from the National Center for Atmospheric Research says that we have already experienced a 300% to 400% increase in Category 5 storms in the past 10 years in the United States. Last August, hundreds of thousands of people had to evacuate as Hurricane Gustav hit the Gulf Coast. And then, of course, there's the destruction of Galveston and areas of New Orleans where the residents are still recovering. The same is happening in the rest of the world. Last year, Cyclone Nargis killed 20,000 people in Myanmar and caused the suffering of tens of thousands more. For these and many, many other reasons, now is the time to act. And luckily, positive change is on the way. In February, when the Congress voted to pass the stimulus bill, it laid the groundwork for critical investments in energy efficiency, renewables, a unified national smart grid, and an historic transition to clean cars. This was a crucial down payment that will create millions of new jobs, hasten our economic recovery, strengthen our national security, and begin solving the climate crisis. But now we must take another step together and pass the American Clean Energy and Security Act. Chairman Waxman and Chairman Markey have pulled together the best ideas in the Congress to begin solving the climate crisis while increasing our energy independence and stimulating our economic recovery. Let me highlight just a few items in the bill that I believe to be of particular importance. First, it promotes the rapid introduction of the clean and renewable technologies that will create new, good, sustainable jobs and reduce our reliance on carbon-based fuels. It is time to close the carbon loophole and begin the steep reductions that we need to make in the pollution that causes global warming. Second, it helps us use energy more efficiently and transmit it over a secure, modernized, digital smart grid system. Of course, this move to repower America must also include adequate provisions to assist those Americans who would face a hardship. For example, we must recognize and protect those who have toiled in dangerous conditions to bring us our present energy supply. I believe we ought to guarantee good jobs for any coal miner displaced by impacts on the coal industry. And this bill also focuses on intensive R&D to explore carbon capture and sequestration to determine whether and where it can be a key part of the solution. I have always strongly supported intensive R&D on carbon capture and sequestration and demonstration projects, and I'm happy that at long last this committee has found a way to do that. Our country cannot afford more of the status quo, more gasoline price instability, more job losses, more outsourcing of factories, more years of sending $2 billion every 24 hours to foreign countries for oil, and our soldiers and their families cannot take another 10 years of repeated troop deployments to regions that just happen to have large oil supplies. Moreover, the best way to secure a global agreement that guarantees that other nations will also reduce their global warming pollution is for our country to lead the world in meeting this historic challenge. The United States of America is the world's leader. We are the only nation in the world that can lead. Once we find and reestablish the moral courage to take on this issue, the rest of the world will come along. Now is the time to act. Before the world gathers in Copenhagen this December to solve this crisis, not next year, this year, I strongly urge bipartisan support of this crucial legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was Al Gore testifying to Congress April 24th on the new climate legislation. Next week, we'll interview climate scientist and activist Bill Hare. His new report says the world may have to stop using fossil fuels completely in just 20 years from now, or face a drastic climate shift. The latest science, the most alarming. I'm Alex Smith. We're out of time. Thank you for caring about your world. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm your host, Alex Smith. Get all our previous programs at our website, ecoshock.org.